John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody is off to a wonderful start of their day. Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. You know, today's a big day, and I'll tell you why, because today is the day that the Dave Matthews Band announces its fall or summer tour dates. So, waiting with bated breath. So, if I have to interrupt the show, I'd be like, "Hold on, yeah, I'll let you know."
Okay,
I don't know what time, but I'm just, you know, I'm watching like a hawk.
Okay,
big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah,
big deal. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. You know, I'd be a little bit better if you stopped telling me if I'm in the way of everybody, Robbie.
Well, get out of the way, people.
I was not in the way of Keith Urban.
Keith Urban, Nicole Kidman, walking out of the elevator last week. Keyser, just right in the way.
Wasn't the only one,
then. Get the security detail to move him out of the way.
Did they say, excuse me? Like, did you?
No.
No. Were you trying to take a quick selfie with him or something? No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Keith, your thoughts on UC Soros?
You have thoughts.
I do. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show on the UC Soros front. Looking forward to that discussion. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We will get into the Predators and UC Soros. Is it time to have some concern about his long-term future here with the Predators? We'll do that later this hour. So we'll welcome your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com will join us at 8 o'clock. He's been at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And had a nice piece about Shedeur Sanders at TennesseeTitans.com. So we'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the quarterback position, all of those things. And the coaching staff, as we learned yesterday, Joe, Colt Anderson is out with the Tennessee Titans. But it's looking like pretty much everybody else is back. So is that good? Did the Titans make the right decision on that front? We'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. I want to start with something I heard Stilley talking about yesterday on his program, which I think is an interesting discussion. You know, the Titans are in this new era now with Mike Borgonzi coming in. He's coming from Kansas City, which I guess in some ways is relevant to this discussion. But I think anytime you hire a new general manager, especially when you're a horrible team like the Titans were, 3-14, you start to look at the equation and you say, all right, well, what's the best way to build your team? How do you build your team successfully and get to the point where you're competing for a playoff spot, competing for your division, and then ultimately competing for what Philadelphia and Kansas City are about to play for, and that's a championship? Like, how do you go about doing that? And, you know, Stilley brought up the two examples of the teams that are still standing yesterday. Kansas City, we know what they are. We know what they've built. And we know basically how they've done it with Patrick Mahomes leading the way since he's gotten there. And then Philadelphia is built differently. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. He's had some moments throughout his career where he's played extremely well, and he's been really, really good. But you look at that roster, and I said it yesterday. Like, I think they have the best roster in the NFL. So they've got the best offensive line, I think, in the NFL. Obviously, Saquon Barkley's come in and has been a huge addition. You know, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. I mean, they're loaded on the offensive side. They're loaded on the defensive side. It's an incredible roster that they've been able to put together. And Jared went through kind of an exercise yesterday of how they've acquired some of the pieces that they've acquired. You know, Titans have been a part of that, pretty major part of that.
Titans helped.
Titans have helped them do that. But, like, you know, I brought the example to you yesterday, like, the fact that the rest of the league let them get Jalen Carter, and now Jalen Carter, like, I know, you know, Matt LaFleur was talking about basically in the divisional, in the playoff game that Green Bay had against them, there were some concepts and plays that they wanted to run, and they were like, we have to take it out because Jalen Carter will blow it up. And he's like, they're like, how often do you have to do that? And he's like, yeah, it's basically been Aaron Donald and Jalen Carter that we've had to do that about. So, I mean, that kind of shows you the impact that that guy has. So there's been a lot of things that Philadelphia and Howie Roseman have been able to do and construct. The Carson Wentz trade, I mean, they turned that into a lot of really good assets for them. They've built up an incredible roster, which is why they're now going to their second trip to a Super Bowl. And the question is, like, which way should you go if you're the Titans? What's the easier path to go? Now, Jared's thought was, like, Philadelphia is a really smart team. Titans aren't necessarily a smart team. And it's easier to luck into the quarterback and go that route than it is to build up this incredible roster that Philadelphia has built up around their team. What do you make of that discussion and the path forward for the Tennessee Titans?
So I didn't hear this, but okay. So he's saying, I mean, first of all, if your argument is, hey, you should luck into the quarterback, I'm like, okay. So does that mean is he advocating that they must draft one of these guys then? Just every chance you get, draft a quarterback.
He did not say that, but I think his general thought process was, you know, Kansas City, number one, they got the coach. So that was the main thing. And then they lucked into Mahomes, and now this is the end result of it. And that's an easier proposition, in his opinion, for the Titans than just having the wherewithal to build up this incredible roster around their quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, when I saw this on the grid, you know, I was like, to my mind, it was like, okay, so wait, is one of them way more draft than free agency? I mean, in both cases, there are some – commonality. It's funny because you talk about Jalen Carter. How many people have been saying, especially this week, great job letting the Chiefs have Xavier Worthy,
yeah,
right? But, I mean, both of them have drafted well.
Yes.
Right? I mean, both of them have
– Right. Like, I don't want to sit here and take away from Kansas City's roster.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty good.
I mean, the defensive side of the ball, look how they've had basically one star, and they've haggled, and they've kept him around, and he continues to be a game wrecker. But then around him, really at every level of that defense, they've had difference makers. They had to build up their offensive line a lot after that Super Bowl where they couldn't block anyone. There's another Titan. You know, Titans should have taken Trey Smith, but maybe they can pay him in free agency.
Let's say,
now.
Might have an opportunity to get him.
Pay him a lot more. So I guess, you know, I do think that one big difference that you point out there, you know, the coach. And he's the GM, right? I mean, he's the guy who's at the forefront of picking players by all accounts. So there's where there's a huge difference to me. I mean, the huge difference in these teams is there because, I mean, Nick Sirianni, you can't sit here and as much as at times in his press conferences, you're wondering what the heck the guy's talking about. He obviously has some effectiveness, but no one's going to confuse him with like Vince Lombardi, right?
So I don't think
so. The Eagles have, you know, him and they have Jalen Hurts, whereas the Chiefs have probably as good as it gets at both of those spots. So from that perspective, you know, so if we're going to do these comparisons of the Titans, I mean, the Titans have an unproven head coach who's 3-14, you know, and again, I'm not giving up on him, but, you know, there's a big difference. Andy Reid was a great coach who just couldn't win the big one when the Chiefs got him. I mean, so
yeah.
So first of all, you know, there's no comparison there. You know, but I guess to me, it's like I'm more of the mind of like if you can't be smart enough to build up your roster, if you can't effectively, you know, build through the draft, make smart free agent signings, you know, you get a little luck along the way too. But if you can't do that, then you need to have a new front office. I mean, the Eagles are exceptional. There's no question. But, like, but that's how you have to do it, right? I mean, yes, of course, everybody wants the quarterback, but the Eagles might win the Super Bowl, and they almost won a Super Bowl with a good quarterback.
Well, I would say both of these outcomes are very difficult to achieve, right? Like,
yes.
It's very difficult to build your roster to the point where Philadelphia has built it. Like, I mean, look – I joked about it yesterday, but, you know, they had N'Kobe Dean go out, who's a really darn good player, and they had Oren Burks in there the other day just flying around. I was like, what is this? Like, yeah. What is Oren Burks doing out there? Like, they don't really have a weak spot on their defense. They don't really have a weak spot on their roster. Like, it's pretty incredible what they've been able to do. That's very difficult to achieve in the NFL. As Titans fans should know, finding that level of quarterback, and Mahomes is probably not even a great example because he may be a unicorn in and of his own self. But finding that level of quarterback, like one of your top upper echelon quarterbacks, Titans hadn't found that. I mean, so that is also really difficult to do. It's really difficult to achieve. So if I had to pick a path of what I thought was probably easier, I think mine would actually be Philadelphia's. Like, I think you make good decisions. They're not always going to work. Like, look, Philadelphia, they gave Carson Wentz a contract, and it wasn't a great decision.
Yeah.
But they flipped it, and they, you know, I think they were bad for a year, and then they flipped him, and they've been able to build off since that. So they took a bad decision and made a good decision out of it, which is what you have to do from time to time. But I would still say, like, the Titans' path forward here, I think it's probably more likely that you have to build your roster up than it is you're just going to find a stud quarterback, even though that I fully realize they have the number one overall pick coming up.
Yeah, you have to try to do both. And so maybe, you know, maybe they draft one of these guys and there you go. That's your guy, and he's that good, and you've done it. I understand that if they don't draft the guy, the Titans, some Titans fans, it's totally understandable, will be like, okay, so when the heck is that going to happen? When and how is the quarterback going to happen? And I don't have a great answer for that, because if you get to a point where you're pretty good, then it's harder to get, you know, to get there. Now, again, if you trade down, get another pick, then next year you have more ammo to move up.
Yep.
And I don't know that they're going to have to move up that much. I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be. If that's the case, then is your coach back? Are you getting a new coach? You know, there's all these variables, but I'm with you. I mean, you have to build up the roster. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we've talked a lot about how he had Tyreek Hill, he's had Travis Kelce, but you know, he's done great things without like great pieces around him. But look, if he was on a completely crap team, I don't think he'd be winning all these. He wouldn't be playing in the Super Bowl. If that defense wasn't great this year, they wouldn't be here. If he didn't have Kelce, if they didn't fix the offensive line, you know,
yeah,
he's the most important part of it. But let's also not pretend like he's just dragging a bunch of scrubs along with him.
Right. Like, he is a force multiplier. There is no doubt about that. Like, he elevates everything around him, and that's what the great quarterbacks do. But I also think, you know, at some point there is a limit to what you elevate around you, right? Like, he's not going to take you and me out there and go win a Super Bowl, right. I don't think. Although, if he wants to give it a shot.
I can cover a punt.
I was
about
to say, I can play.
I'm pretty good long snapper, actually. Yeah, so, I mean, the Eagles, you're right, it is pretty amazing. Like up and down their roster, every level is pretty good. But, okay, let's go back to, again, just 3 years ago. You know, I would argue that the Titans, at every level of defense, they weren't great at corner. I would say they were great at safety. You know, up front, their pass rush was unbelievable. They had the best running back in the game. They had one of the best receivers in the game. Ryan Tannehill, by the way, for like a two-year span, you can find these graphics on the internet, had better numbers than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he was better than him, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, that was 3 years ago.
That goes back to the roster, right?
Like, yeah.
Yes. It's the roster. And
3 years ago, they were that strong, and now they're this weak. 3 years later. And, yes, part of it is the dude who's playing in the Super Bowl, too, catching passes.
There's that. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. What's the best path forward for the Titans in terms of the construction of their team? We'll get into that. We'll get into the UC Soros conversation later this hour as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the path forward here. One texter says There are too many needs to be filled elsewhere outside of quarterback. So there's no point in getting a new young quarterback at this point if everything else, especially on offense, can't help the quarterback shine. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, see, I have to disagree with that. Just fundamentally, if it's a great quarterback, you go ahead and take the great quarterback. I mean, plenty of teams have picked up the great quarterback at the top of the draft, and the reason that they got the opportunity is their team sucked, and so they did not bring that quarterback into a great situation. Again, I hate to keep going to Peyton Manning for so many examples, but the Indianapolis Colts were complete buns, and he was too as a rookie, by the way. And we know what happened there. That's year two, they go like 11-5, and it's like, oh, yeah, there you go. I mean, you can't – yeah, ideally, hey, here it is. Everything's all set. We got the everything all, you know, all taken care of, and now we can get our quarterback. But if you have the chance to get the quarterback, get the quarterback. The question is just whether these guys are the quarterback.
Yeah, like how often is everything – is like the table set for the rookie quarterback to come in and be like, okay, the only thing we're missing is the rookie quarterback. Like, it doesn't happen very often. Usually when you're in a position to draft those guys high, it probably means the rest of your roster is not in great shape, which is how you become bad.
Right. So, and then sometimes you get surprised. You know, C.J. Stroud came in, well, yeah, good luck with the Texans. Right. Worked out pretty well. Jaden Daniels, the Commanders, absolutely terrible for how long? Forever.
Long time.
And all of a sudden, here they are in the NFC Championship game. Meanwhile, Caleb Williams goes to the Bears, and, well, they continue to suck, as we thought they would.
Yeah.
But are the Bears happy they have Caleb Williams right now? I'd say they are. Now they got a new coach, and now, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they can do around him. We'll see what he can turn into. But, you know, Drake May joins the Patriots. They stink. He eventually ascends to the starting job. There's a lot of optimism. Again, new coach with them, too. You do wonder, you know, with the Titans, you know, if they don't take the quarterback, if they can't do enough this season, or I'm sorry, this offseason to improve themselves, and they have another bad year, are we talking next year about a new quarterback and a new coach together?
Yeah, well, and then also, like, how far away is this Titans roster? Because, look. The thing about it is we were talking about this roster being better than the year before on paper. I still believe the roster, you can make the argument.
On paper it was.
Well, on paper was better. Now, having said that, you know, right tackle, who we thought was a serviceable player, ended up being just a total turnstile
mannequin
out there. So that was not good. You had cornerbacks that you had gone out and signed that couldn't get on the field. So that factors in. I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, look, even, like, you know, Harold Landry – even though I think the numbers ended up being fine, I think you and I would both agree that Harold Landry did not impact games this past season the way that we thought he would heading into the year. So, I mean, you factor all those things in, like rosters on paper and rosters the way they end up playing out are two different things a lot of times. But I'm just saying, like, is this roster in such dire shape that no matter what they do this offseason, it's still going to be a couple, 3 years before they're competing for a playoff spot? Like, I don't think it's too much to ask to improve on 3 wins. That's not really what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about, like, how quickly do you get to being a team that competes for a playoff spot and getting back in the dance?
Yeah, well, to me it's not impossible, but it's you shore up. By the way, some people say "shore up" and it's really annoying. It's shore.
I noticed
like,
that.
Like
yeah.
The shore, you yeah. know, you that's it's shore up. You shore up right tackle. You hope again that some of this is just like, what are some of these guys who are definitely going to be part of the lineup? Do they get better?
Right.
Does the left side become good? Does Cushenberry get healthy and play? Is Sweat better? Are the two corners you mentioned, are they playing next year? Are they good? Okay. Well, if all those things break their way, you still have a ton of stuff to do, but if you shore up right tackle along with that stuff, good backs, you know, you can add an outside weapon. And then it's like, can you get pretty good quarterback play? If all those things broke their way, again, you have to, like, you need another edge badly, you know. You need more, probably another safety. You know, there's things that you need. They're not going to get all the things. But if you just seriously make it so that the right side of the line is not a disaster And some of those things break your way. You get some health luck, and then you get okay quarterback play. Yeah, you could be like a 7-8 win team. I mean, it's not hard in this league to be a 7-8 win team.
No.
It's embarrassing to not be.
Exactly. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tyrell to the program. Tyrell, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, so, you know, I always listen to you guys every morning. I can't go to work without listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I have a comment on the state of Titans where I think we should go forward, and a couple of questions for you guys. One, I keep trying to tell people, we have to hopefully that Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward have this humongous, great workout. None of them are going to throw at the combine. And we all know the reason for that, so they can showcase other players. They need a great thing for that to happen. But I'm looking at this draft. The Browns may take need a quarterback. Other than the Raiders, even the Giants, and even if we move down, Abdu Carter is not going to make it past either the Browns or make it past. Who is that also needed?
Patriots are there too,
Patriots. And so I don't see them, I don't see him as a Myles Garrett thing. So I don't see anybody in there who's number one, an exceptional player. I'm not really high on Travis Hunter. He's going both sides of the ball. He's not going to be able to do that in the NFL. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. He may have some packages on the offensive side, but he's not going to play every down in the NFL. It's just not going to happen. Now, hopefully I would love to trade down and get what we need, but depending on the what we get in free agency, I think that's going to be determined why we deal with the draft. Now, my question is to you, the rankings has the offensive tackle from LSU in front of Brown. How far back, my first question, how far back is they worth? If we trade down, how far back, would you think it's worth enough to even pick a tackle at that time? My second question is, other than, other than Abdu Carter, Pierce was the other one.
There's a couple guys, but yeah, James Pierce.
Yeah. And I think James Pierce is the other one that's ranked as high as that. The reason Landry didn't do well enough, He and Sweat, Key, I like Auden King. He's just a rotational guy. He's just not an impact player. All that defense line needs another impact player to go along with Sam to let everything else go by.
Yep, thanks for the call, Tyrell. Appreciate it. So on his first part, trading down for a tackle. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, Joe. Like, how do you view these tackles? Like, I think you could probably move down, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that neighborhood, and you could still be in a spot where you could pick a tackle. Now,
what tackle do you want?
Which tackle do you want? Like, is that and the other thing I think you brought up, which is fair, like, what if you view those guys as a left tackle? Well, you already have a left tackle. Do you have internal conversations about moving Latham back to the right side? Like, how does that factor into all of it?
Yeah. And look, I'm not saying that I like that idea. I mean, to me, it's like you've gone through this entire transition and, I think ideally he stays there. But, yeah, maybe there's a guy who's like, this guy has been nothing but a left tackle. Again, I don't know who that would be. I mean, Will Campbell is I think the guy
right.
who is the is probably going to be the first tackle to go. He started at left tackle 3 years, But again, that also doesn't necessarily mean anything. College to pro, a lot of guys start in college at left tackle and they switch to right tackle.
Some start at right tackle and switch to left tackle.
So who knows? I mean. I understand some Titans fans are like pulling their hair like, do not take a tackle. But, hey, if that's the best football player available, you have a need at that position. And I think Tyrell's right. I mean, so many of these questions about the draft, like we're going to have a much clearer picture after free agency. Well, especially quarterback, right? I mean, if they go out and get someone, then I think we kind of know that they're trying to bail out of one. Yeah,
unless not necessarily. They're doubling up.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
The Atlanta Falcons strategy, the strategy for everyone. Moving forward. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in David to the program. David, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just my quick thought. Obviously, you're going to draft a QB if there's one up at the top of the list. I don't know that I'm seeing that this year. Personally, I'd like to see them fill that top pick with some skill players, fill all the roster gaps that we have, and bring in a temporary quarterback for a few years. Because I think there's just more risk with QB than you have with other positions out there. You know, like you take a Jackson Dart, who was pretty decent, maybe above average in college. He's not going to translate to the NFL. And I think that's true for most of these young QBs. That's just my quick thought. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed the show.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will continue conversation on the draft throughout the program today. We will get back into the Titans coaching staff a little bit later in the show as well. Coming up next, is it time to be concerned about UC Soros and his long-term future prognosis here with the Nashville Predators? We'll get into that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody is off to a wonderful start of their day. Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. You know, today's a big day, and I'll tell you why, because today is the day that the Dave Matthews Band announces its fall or summer tour dates. So, waiting with bated breath. So, if I have to interrupt the show, I'd be like,
hold on.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I don't know what time, but I'm just, you know, I'm watching like a hawk.
Okay.
Big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. You know, I'd be a little bit better if you stopped telling me if I'm in the way of everybody, Robbie.
Well, get out of the way, people.
I was not in the way of Keith Urban.
Keith Urban, Nicole Kidman, walking out of the elevator last week. Keyser, just right in the way.
Wasn't the only one,
then. Get the security detail to move him out of the way.
Did they say, excuse me? Like, did you?
No.
Were you trying to take a quick selfie with him or something? No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Keith, your thoughts on UC Soros?
You have thoughts.
I do. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show on the UC Soros front. Looking forward to that discussion. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We will get into the Predators and UC Soros. Is it time to have some concern about his long-term future here with the Predators? We'll do that later this hour. So we'll welcome your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com will join us at 8 o'clock. He's been at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And had a nice piece about Shedeur Sanders at TennesseeTitans.com. So we'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the quarterback position, all of those things. And the coaching staff, as we learned yesterday, Joe, Colt Anderson is out with the Tennessee Titans. But it's looking like pretty much everybody else is back. So is that good? Did the Titans make the right decision on that front? We'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. I want to start with something I heard Stilley talking about yesterday on his program, which I think is an interesting discussion. You know, the Titans are in this new era now with Mike Borgonzi coming in. He's coming from Kansas City, which I guess in some ways is relevant to this discussion. But I think anytime you hire a new general manager, especially when you're a horrible team like the Titans were, 3-14, you start to look at the equation and you say, all right, well, what's the best way to build your team? How do you build your team successfully and get to the point where you're competing for a playoff spot, competing for your division, and then ultimately competing for what Philadelphia and Kansas City are about to play for, and that's a championship? Like, how do you go about doing that? And, you know, Stilley brought up the two examples of the teams that are still standing yesterday. Kansas City, we know what they are. We know what they've built. And we know basically how they've done it with Patrick Mahomes leading the way since he's gotten there. And then Philadelphia is built differently. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. He's had some moments throughout his career where he's played extremely well, and he's been really, really good. But you look at that roster, and I said it yesterday, like I think they have the best roster in the NFL. So they've got the best offensive line, I think, in the NFL. Obviously, Saquon Barkley's come in and has been a huge addition. You know, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. I mean, they're loaded on the offensive side. They're loaded on the defensive side. It's an incredible roster that they've been able to put together. And Jared went through kind of an exercise yesterday of how they've acquired some of the pieces that they've acquired. You know, Titans have been a part of that, pretty major part of that.
Titans helped.
Titans have helped them do that. But, like, you know, I brought up the example to you yesterday. Like, the fact that the rest of the league let them get Jalen Carter. And now Jalen Carter, like, I know, you know, Matt LaFleur was talking about basically in the divisional, in the playoff game that Green Bay had against them, there were some concepts and plays that they wanted to run. And they were like, we have to take it out because Jalen Carter will blow it up. And he's like, they're like, how often do you have to do that? And he's like, yeah, it's basically been Aaron Donald and Jalen Carter that we've had to do that about. So, I mean, that kind of shows you the impact that that guy has. So there's been a lot of things that Philadelphia and Howie Roseman have been able to do and construct. The Carson Wentz trade, I mean, they turned that into a lot of really good assets for them. They've built up an incredible roster, which is why they're now going to their second trip to a Super Bowl. And the question is, like, which way should you go if you're the Titans? What's the easier path to go? Now, Jared's thought was, like, Philadelphia is a really smart team. Titans aren't necessarily a smart team. And it's easier to luck into the quarterback and go that route than it is to build up this incredible roster that Philadelphia has built up around their team. What do you make of that discussion and the path forward for the Tennessee Titans?
So I didn't hear this, but okay. So he's saying, I mean, first of all, if your argument is, hey, you should luck into the quarterback, I'm like, okay. So does that mean, is he advocating that they must draft one of these guys then? Just every chance you get, draft a quarterback.
He did not say that. But I think his general thought process was, you know, Kansas City, number one, they got the coach. So that was the main thing. And then they lucked into Mahomes, and now this is the end result of it. And that's an easier proposition, in his opinion, for the Titans than just having the wherewithal to build up this incredible roster around their quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, when I saw this on the grid, you know, I was like, to my mind, it was like, okay, so wait, is one of them way more draft than free agency? I mean, in both cases, there are some commonalities. It's funny because you talk about Jalen Carter, how many people have been saying, especially this week, great job letting the Chiefs have Xavier Worthy,
yeah.
Right? But, I mean, both of them have drafted well.
Yes.
Right? I mean, both of them have
right, like, I don't want to sit here and take away from Kansas City's roster.
Yeah,
like, it's pretty good.
I mean, their defensive side of the ball. Look at how they've had basically one star, and they've haggled and they've kept him around. He continues to be a game wrecker, but then around him, really at every level of that defense, they've had difference makers. They had to build up their offensive line a lot after. You know, after that Super Bowl where they couldn't block anyone, there's another Titan. You know, Titans should have taken Trey Smith, but maybe they can pay him in free agency.
Let's say,
now.
Might know, have an opportunity
pay
to get him.
Pay him a lot more. So I guess, you know, I do think that one big difference that you point out there, you know, the coach, and he's the GM, right? I mean, he's the guy who's at the forefront of picking players by all accounts. So that's. There's where there's a huge difference to me. I mean, the huge difference in these teams is there because, I mean, Nick Sirianni, you can't sit here and as much as at times in his press conferences, you're wondering what the heck the guy's talking about. He obviously has some effectiveness, but no one's going to confuse him with, like, Vince Lombardi, right?
The Eagles have,
you know, him and they have Jalen Hurts, whereas the Chiefs have probably as good as it gets at both of those spots. So from that perspective, you know, so if we're going to do these comparisons of the Titans, I mean, the Titans have an unproven head coach who's 3-14, you know, and again, I'm not giving up on him, but, you know, there's a big difference. Andy Reid was a great coach who just couldn't win the big one when the Chiefs got him. I mean, so,
yeah.
So first of all, you know, there's no comparison there. You know, but I guess to me, it's like, I'm more of the mind of like, if you can't be smart enough to build up your roster, if you can't effectively, you know, build through the draft, make smart free agent signings, you know, you get a little luck along the way too, but if you can't do that, then you need to have a new front office. I mean, the Eagles are exceptional. There's no question, but like, But that's how you have to do it, right? I mean, yes, of course, everybody wants the quarterback, but the Eagles might win the Super Bowl, and they almost won a Super Bowl with a good quarterback.
Well, I would say both – look, both of these outcomes are very difficult to achieve, right? Like,
yes.
It's very difficult to build your roster to the point where Philadelphia has built it. Like, I mean, look – I joked about it yesterday, but, you know, they had N'Kobe Dean go out, who's a really darn good player, and they had Oren Burks in there the other day just flying around. I was like, what is this? Like, What is Oren Burks doing out there? Like, they don't really have a weak spot on their defense. They don't really have a weak spot on their roster. Like, it's pretty incredible what they've been able to do. That's very difficult to achieve in the NFL. As Titans fans should know, finding that level of quarterback, and Mahomes is probably not even a great example because he may be a unicorn in and of his own self. But finding that level of quarterback, like one of your top upper echelon quarterbacks, Titans hadn't found that. I mean, so that is also really difficult to do. It's really difficult to achieve. So if I had to pick a path of what I thought was probably easier, I think mine would actually be Philadelphia's. Like, I think you make good decisions. They're not always going to work. Like, look, Philadelphia, they gave Carson Wentz a contract, and it wasn't a great decision,
But
they flipped it. And they, you know, I think they were bad for a year, and then they flipped him, and they've been able to build off since that. So they took a bad decision and made a good decision out of it, which is what you have to do from time to time. But I would still say, like, the Titans' path forward here, I think it's probably more likely that you have to build your roster up than it is you're just going to find a stud quarterback, even though that I fully realize they have the number one overall pick coming up.
Yeah, you have to try to do both. And so maybe, you know, maybe they draft one of these guys and that, and there you go. That's your guy, and he's that good, and you've done it. I understand that if they don't draft the guy, some Titans fans, it's totally understandable, will be like, okay, so when the heck is that going to happen? When and how is the quarterback going to happen? And I don't have a great answer for that, because if you get to a point where you're you know, pretty good, then it's harder to get, you know, to get there. Now, again, if you trade down, get another pick, then next year you have more ammo to move up.
Yep.
And I don't know that they're going to have to move up that much. I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be. If that's the case, then is your coach back? Are you getting a new coach? You know, there's all these variables, but I'm with you. I mean, you have to build up the roster. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we've talked a lot about how he had Tyreek Hill, he's had Travis Kelce, but, you know, he's done great things without, like, great pieces around him. But look, if he was on a completely crap team, I don't think he'd be winning all these. He wouldn't be playing in the Super Bowl. If that defense wasn't great this year, they wouldn't be here. If, you know, if he didn't have Kelce, if they didn't fix the offensive line, you know, He's the most important part of it, but let's also not pretend like he's just dragging a bunch of scrubs along with him.
Right. Like, he is a force multiplier. There is no doubt about that. Like, he elevates everything around him, and that's what the great quarterbacks do. But I also think, you know, at some point there is a limit to what you elevate around you, right? Like, he's not going to take you and me out there and go win a Super Bowl, right. I don't think. Although, if he wants to give it a shot.
I can cover a punt.
I was about to say, I can play. I'm
pretty good long snapper, actually. So, I mean, the Eagles, you're right, it is pretty amazing. Like up and down their roster, every level is pretty good. But, okay, let's go back to, again, just 3 years ago. You know, I would argue that the Titans – at every level of defense, they weren't great at corner. I would say they were great at safety. You know, up front, their pass rush was unbelievable. They had the best running back in the game. They had one of the best receivers in the game. Ryan Tannehill, by the way, for like a two-year span, you can find these graphics on the internet, had better numbers than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he was better than him, but I'm just saying, like, you know, that was 3 years ago.
That goes back to the roster, right?
Like, yeah.
Yes. It's the roster.
And 3 years ago, they were that strong, and now they're this weak, 3 years later. And, yes, part of it is the dude who's playing in the Super Bowl, too, catching passes.
There's that. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. What's the best path forward for the Titans in terms of the construction of their team? We'll get into that. We'll get into the UC Soros conversation later this hour as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on UC Soros and the Predators. Is it time to be concerned about some of Soros' numbers and what that could mean for him in the long term here? Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Mike in Gallatin. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's quite possible that you guys covered a lot of this as I kind of just joined in. But I feel like that we have not had a defensive pairing that's lasted more than about a week to really, like, solidify and know what our core defense is. Injuries have plagued us in the back there. I feel like last year we actually got pretty good luck with the injury front, and this year has not been so kind to us. So I think injury's got to play a large part to the who's playing defense back there. We got a lot of rookies and a lot of Milwaukee guys back there helping Soros out. So that's got to play a part of it. And I think another maybe even bigger than that is the loss of Ryan McDonough. I just think that he was playing on another level that was much higher than Shea. They're not exactly the same guy. I feel like McDonough's defense of presence was above and beyond what Shea's trying to do. I think he's almost attempting to do too much, and we just lack a solid defender like what McDonough had. So, again, I think that those two factors got to play a larger part into the Soros numbers than anything else. But, man, you can't ignore the fact that he does have some games that he hasn't stolen any shows. I see what you guys are saying, but that defensive side and the revolving door back there has got to be a part too.
Yep, thanks for the call, Mike. Hey, look, the defense – number one, they've changed it, right? So, you know, it's not only just McDonough gone, but you bring in Brady Shea, and he's not been what you thought he was supposed to be, right? Like, he's gotten better. Like, first part of the year, it was, frankly, a disaster on Brady Shea's front. Now, he's gotten better, and he's starting to look more comfortable. And I think he and Blankenberg, who have been together for a pretty good while now, I think have played pretty well for the most part. But, like, you traded away Carrier, Lazon's been hurt. Willsby's come up. I think he's largely done a good job. You've had Stasny kind of in and out. He just got sitting back down in Milwaukee. Justin Barron's played with Yossi, and like Barron has shown some things offensively. Frankly, I think defensively he's been kind of a train wreck at times out there. So it's not been perfect in front of him. But again, that's where like the goal saved above expected factors that stuff in, or at least supposed to. It's not a perfect stat. But I do think it does illustrate a little bit of what's going on out there. Like, I think this is a situation where a couple things can be true. I don't think the Predators are always getting good defensive play in front of them. Like, they were running around in their own end Saturday night in the second period. It was bad defensively. Also, the first goal of the game is a goal that he should stop 100 times out of 100, and he didn't make save the other night. Like, I think defensively, they've had some problems at times this year, and he's also not playing as well as he needs to play. Like, UC Soros is not, really for the last couple of years, not been the same goalie that they've paid him to be.
Yeah. Now, you know, his agent, you know, his family, he might say, well, just get, you know, give me a year when it is solid like it used to be in front of me. And, you know, mentally, what does that do for a goalie if you have more consistency and more reliability, yeah, right? I mean, you could make that case,
yeah,
but like you said, then I don't give up these weird soft goals as much, and all of a sudden it all works better. I mean, you can make that case. I mean, they have to, like, that should be the goal because you are locked into him. I mean, he's your goalie, so do as much as you can to help him. Some people on the text line are making the point of overuse and catching up with him. And then he needs to, you know, they need to. And, well, it looks like they have.
Well,
they've scaled him back some already.
Andrew,
right?
Brunette is saying all the right things, but his actions are telling you something different right now. Like they are playing him less.
But
right
is that man? He needs a break, or is that, well, he's not our best option right now?
I think it's. I am reading into it as like he's struggling right now, and they're putting Onan and out there more often.
Yeah. Do you buy the idea that there's a cumulative effect?
Not real. Like, no. Like, I think that catches up with you later. in your career? Like, it shouldn't be catching up to him right now, I don't think. Like, he's 29.
But again. But the way he plays, right? Does that just change the clock?
Maybe. I mean, if that's the case,
they're screwed.
Then this is a big problem, right?
Like, yeah, I mean it's also like, I'm trying to think of like other, who are the stylistically the goalies who are most like him? Because, I mean, he could be a case study too, right?
That's like, the thing. Like, there's not a ton that are his size. Like, yeah.
You know,
Hellebuck's got good size to him. There's a lot, you know. The Pecorine type is kind of the way that people want to build their goalie now, right? Like, it's, you want to cover up as much net as possible.
Askarov, Askarov
like,
type.
You know,
yes.
Exactly. Like, Vasilevsky, he's a huge guy in that. So, like, that's where a lot of teams are going in goal. So, it is a different way of doing things. And, again, like, I'm not necessarily, like, abandoning hope on UC Soros. Like, I don't think that he's necessarily doomed to not recover from this. The numbers just are alarming. Like, it's, the numbers are what they are, and different people can have their own interpretation of why that is. But the bottom line is, like, the goaltending position right now is not good enough for the Predators. Like, they are not getting the level of goaltending that they need to get, or that they're paying to get as they move forward. And the question is that going to change? And is he going to turn back into being an elite goaltender at some point throughout this contract, or is this a sign of things to come? Because, Joe, if this is a sign of things to come, then this is going to be a really difficult hurdle to overcome for them over the next few years.
Yeah. Look, this window that we thought maybe they had just opened because they signed some very productive, if aging, players was always based around you've got a top five goaltender in the league, and that's why once you get into the postseason – you know, he can stand on his head and he can win series for you, win games for you, all that stuff. And look, he has not had the great playoff success, although I think he's played well when he's had an opportunity in the playoffs. It's been limited. But that's the whole basis for any hope of them doing something with this group. And if he's not going to be great, there's no hope.
Yeah, then you got a huge, huge problem at that point. We'll get back into this later in the show. Take more of your thoughts on UC Soros. Is it time to be concerned about him as the Predators move forward here? We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Are we surprised/worried about the lack of moves on the coaching staff? We'll get your thoughts on that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.